You can tell a lot about a person by how they react to absolute disaster. To like when all of their life's plans and dreams and everything like goes up in smoke. You work your entire life toward achieving a goal and all of a sudden it blows up. You know, on a much smaller level. You see like sometimes the kids play in a hockey game and they take it a little too seriously. You know, the whole season was building up and oh, then we lost in the playoffs. Why do good things happen to bad people? We gotta read the book of Job and we have to like oy vey. But how does a person react? Does he freeze? Does he blow up in anger? Moshe Rabbeinu saw essentially his entire life's work, but not just his entire life's work, really the entire purpose of creation, completely go up in flames. And we're not really quite sure what he did. There seems to be a contradiction. I mean, what happened? The whole point of creation was all for this moment of Kabbalas HaTorah, for him to be able to successfully bring the Torah from Shemayim and deliver it to us. A very, very dangerous operation that he was put in charge of. And that was his job. And it didn't work. The people were committing the Chetah Egel in this week's parsha. It didn't work. But how he reacted seems to be a machlokas in Chazal. On the one hand, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Pei Zayin implies that he threw the luchos down on the ground to smash them. A strong, demonstrative show of disapproval and anger. Boom! How does the Gemara in Shabbos imply that? Because it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Yasher kochacha sheshibarta. Good job! You should throw it on the ground. You should have broken it. It's the right thing to do. On the other hand, the Medrash tells us that's not at all what happened. He comes down from the mountain. The osios flew off of the luchos, and now that the luchos were missing that spiritual content, the stones became too heavy for Moshe to hold, so he dropped them because he couldn't hold them anymore. So which is it? Did he throw them or did he drop them? Furthermore, according to the Medrash, that the stones were simply too heavy to hold, it's difficult to understand how Moshe Rabbeinu managed to find the strength to bring the stones back up the mountain, fighting the pull of gravity. You know, it's hard enough to climb a mountain without heavy stones. These were too heavy for him to even hold. He drops them, and Moshe was a big guy, right? The Gemara says he was 10 amos tall. The Pesukim are pretty clear. Moshe definitely schlepped the stones back up the mountain. So, did he do a lot of working out over the course of that night? Like, all of a sudden, he had the muscles to do it? What exactly happened? And the third question, when Moshe comes down from the mountain the second time, it's an entirely different experience. Not only was Klal Yisrael not worshipping an Egel this time, Moshe himself was an entirely different person. There's no indication that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luchos the first time, that his face was shining at all. No such indication. No one was scared, no one was... Nothing like that. But pretty much the entire last Aliyah of this week's Parsha is dedicated to describing the glow on Moshe Rabbeinu's face and how he dealt with it, because people didn't know, why is he glowing? Was he near like a nuclear reactor or something? They didn't understand what was going on, so he had to like cover the glow, wear a veil. So why was he glowing the second time and not glowing the first time? What was so different? So Salvechik explained that when Moshe Rabbeinu drops the luchos, because Toshash Kocho, the Medrash says, his strength waned. The Medrash does not mean to say that he was physically unable to carry them anymore. Physically, he was fine. What it means to say is that he was totally dejected. Toshash Kocho spiritually. It broke his heart to come down and see the people worshipping the Egel. He realized that the luchos he was holding isn't going to be what these people need. Meaning these luchos were not something they were ready for. By the time he climbs back up the mountain, though, he's rejuvenated, he sees hope for the future, he thinks that everything's going to be okay, he has an entirely different attitude. He has no problem schlepping stones back up because he knows that this time things are going to be different. Why? What gave him the confidence to know, so soon after that horrible disaster of Chetah Egel, that this time things are going to be different? So Salvechik explains, based on the Beis HaLevi, the problem with the first luchos was that the Torah was something that we were expected to learn and to do, nasev and ishma, but it still remained external to us. The Torah was what was written on those tablets, right? We were talking about before. The Torah was completely, as Beis Halevi explains, Beis HaMidrashim, completely spelled out on those tablets over there. It wasn't part of who we are. In the Beis Halevi's terminology, the Torah was Kedusha, but we were just Tashmishei Kedusha. Right? The Torah itself was the Kedusha, yeah, and we would hold the Torah, learn the Torah, look at the Torah. We were the Tashmishei Kedusha. A mantle of a Sefer Torah is Tashmishei Kedusha. It's not Torah! But it helps the Torah, protects the Torah, supports the Torah. Tashmishei Kedusha. It's valuable because it's associated with the Torah, but inherently, it has no inherent value. When our relationship with the Torah is that of Tashmishei Kedusha, we become very vulnerable to becoming separated from the Kedusha. Because we aren't it. We're associated with it. Associations can break. The letters can fly off of the stones. The second time around, though, things were going to be different. Rashi derives from psukim that describe the second luchos that we cannot write down the Torah Shebal Peh. From those psukim that describe the second luchos, Rashi derives the halacha that you're not allowed to write down the Torah Shebal Peh. Because there is no physical writing of the Torah Shebal Peh the second time around. Why? The klaf upon which Torah Shebal Peh is written is Klal Yisrael. We are the klaf. It's kasuv aluach libecha. It's written on us. So instead of Naas Evinishma, we will hear, we will do, this is how we will relate to it, the Torah becomes part of our Ramach Evarim Shagidim. It becomes part of us. The Medrash describes Moshe Rabbeinu's death. What does it say? Vayamos Moshe Safra Rabba di Yisrael, the great scribe of Israel. What made Moshe a great scribe? He wrote Sifrei Torah for each and every Shevet. Yeah, so he wrote a lot of Sifrei Torah. There are a lot of really good Sofrim. What made him the Safra Rabba di Yisrael? Not because he wrote Sifrei Torah, physical Sifrei Torah, but because he managed to write the Torah on the hearts and minds of every Jew, that it's Charus Aluach Liban. So when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the mountain the second time, his face was shining. The Medrash says, Mehecha Natal Moshe Karnei Ahod. Where did Moshe get these shiny countenance? So the Medrash says there was a little extra ink from the writing of the Torah. He wrote the Torah, and oh look, there's a little left in the quill. He rubbed it on his forehead, and all of a sudden he was shining. Obviously, it's speaking allegorically. What does it mean? That he's using himself as the klaf of the ink of the Torah. And that's where he gets that glow. That glow is representative of the fact that we become the Sefer Torah. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was shining from. From becoming Kedusha Atzmo, not just Tashmishei Kedusha. And that might explain the double usage of the Shem Hashem in the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. Rashi explains that Hashem has the same Rachmanus both before and after we sin. So in human friendships, that's virtually impossible. When somebody does something awful to you, even after, oh, I accept your apology, we reconcile, amochel you, you shouldn't go to Gehenna, based on what you did to me this year, you shouldn't have to face a din on Rosh Hashanah, amochel you, but you never truly forget it. I have a Talmud once who did something, he tweeted something that was a public embarrassment for him. It caused him to become publicly embarrassed. Whatever it was that he tweeted, it wasn't like the worst thing in the world, but it caused him to become publicly embarrassed. So I was talking to a relative of his, and I said, don't worry, the news cycle is short enough these days that, in a month from now, no one will remember it. And you know what the relative says? Something very wise. He said, yeah, in a month from now, no one will remember it. But if he ever tweets anything again that's even questionable, oh, they're going to bring this one back up. You know, it's never totally forgotten. You're mochel a person, I'm mochel you for sure, no problem. Yeah, but if you ever cross me one more time, it's not going to be that you crossed me now. It's, yeah, and this isn't the first time. What about that last time that you did it to me also? And even if you don't say it, it's in the back of your mind. You know, most of our human relationships are relationships where we love somebody for what they do, for their actions, but not necessarily for who they are. But when the love is inherently about the person themselves, then we can achieve the same level of love, kodem achet and achar achet. When the love is stronger, when the love is because it's my child, then it's different. Yeah, I remember when the child said that not nice thing to me or was disrespectful. Once I'm mochel, it's gone. That love is going to be there forever. and the love is not weakened a single bit once we reconcile, once they apologize. Not weakened a single bit. Why? Because I don't just love them because it's an ava tliya bedavar. What they do for me, how they can benefit me, how nice they are to me. No, I love them because of them. Our relationship with the Ribbono Shalom, from Luchos Rishonos to Luchos Shnios, went from a love, where Luchos Rishonos, for what we did, we observe the Torah, we keep the Torah, we protect the Torah, to Luchos Shnios, we are the Torah. And that love, Hashem loves us the same, Kodem Achet, and after, and Achar Achet. The new relationship that Hashem has with Klal Yisrael, it's not about what we do, it's about Kedusha Atzma. And that explains all three questions. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to go up again. The Torah didn't fall out of his hand because it was too heavy. The Luchos didn't fall out of his hand because it was too heavy. Luchos fell out of his hand because he was terribly dejected. What gave him the confidence to not be dejected anymore and to pick up those stones and to run up the mountain again? It was the knowledge that this time it was going to be different. This time we were ready to make the Luchos part of who we are. That's the Karnei Ahod of Moshe, so clearly symbolizing taking the ink and putting it on his physical body. And that's the Karnei Ahod, and that's what makes a Jew precious, that's what makes a Jew special. And that's why Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that a Jew has a status, La'achar Misa, so there's a Chiv Kvura. La'achar Misa of an Akum, there's no Chiv Kvura. He's Tashmishe Mitzvah, he does a lot of mitzvahs, Shev Mitzvahs Mei Noach, so he's Tashmishe Mitzvah, but he's not Kedusha. A Jew is Kedusha. And we have to take that as a deep, with a profound sense of responsibility to live lives of Kedusha, where we represent Kedusha, where someone could look at us and say, that's a person who represents holiness, who represents a higher level of living. Rabbi Shmuel Marcus told me today that he met a guy who fought in both Gulf Wars in the United States Army. And he said that he had become a Baal Tshuva between the two. And in the first Gulf War, he was not yet religious. In the second, he was. And he said what he discovered from that experience was that people respect you a lot more for your religion when you are much more makbid on your religion than they do when you're willing to cut corners. You don't lose respect. You gain respect because people appreciate someone who's willing to give things up, someone who's willing to not eat what the rest of us are eating, to not, do what the rest of us are doing. That's Kedusha. And when we respect our Kedusha, we're being honest to who we are and living up to that model of the Luchos Shnios, where yes, the Torah Shebichsav is written on a cloth, but the Torah Shebalpeh, that's Charus Aluach Lipeh.